אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל הסולם עמוד
Reading from Kabbalah for the student, Peace in the World, Hopes for Peace. You can ask questions live during the lesson.
ואחר שהתנאים האלו הביאו את החברה
Once those conditions brought society a great deal of strife and risked the well-being of society, the peacemakers appeared in society. They have assumed control and power and renewed the social life based on new conditions, which they considered true, to suffice for the peaceful existence of society. Yet, the majority of those peacemakers which spring up after every dispute naturally come from among the destructors, meaning from the seekers of truth, by way of what's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours. This is because they are the powerful and courageous ones in society, called heroes, for they are always willing to renounce their own lives and the lives of the whole collective if the collective disagrees with their views. But the constructors in society, who are the men of mercy and charity, who care for their own lives and for the life of the collective, refuse to risk themselves or the public in order to impose their opinion on the collective. Hence, they are always on the weak side in society, called the faint-hearted and the coward.
המכונים מוגי הלב והפחדנים.
כך אנחנו רואים שהחברה מתחלקת.
That's how we see society divides into, for us, in throughout the history of Israel, the most prominent is the ship Adelena. Those ones are willing to kill everyone, and Prime Minister Begin said, no, there will be no civil war. That's the division. Clear, right? There are no questions. Yes?
שתמיד ידי המופקרים אמיצי הלב על העליונה. על כן, טבעי הוא הדבר שכל עושה השלום מבעלי החורבן.
It is hence obvious that the hand of the brave It is hence obvious that the hand of the brave will always be on top, and it is natural that the peacemakers will come from among the destructors and not from the constructors. Thus we see how the hope for peace, which our generation so yearns for, is futile, both from the perspective of the subject and the perspective of the predicament. For the subjects who are the peacemakers of our time and in any generation, meaning those who have the power to make peace in the world, are forever made of the human substance we call destructors. For they are seekers of truth, meaning to establish the world on the attribute of what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours. It is natural that those people defend their opinions firmly to the point of risking their own lives and the life of the entire collective. And that is what gives them the power to always prevail over the human substance called constructors and seekers of mercy and charity who are willing to give up of their own for the good of others in order to save the world because they are the faint-hearted and the coward. It turns out that seeking truth and the destruction of the world are one and the same, and the desire for mercy and the construction of the world are one and the same too. Therefore, we should not hope from the destructors to establish peace, and it is hopeless to hope for peace from the predicate, meaning by the conditions of peace itself. This is so because the proper conditions for the well-being of the individual and the well-being of the collective, according to the criterion of truth that these peacemakers so desire, have not yet been established. And it is a must that there will always be a large minority in society who are unsatisfied by the conditions offered to them, as we have shown the weakness of the truth above. This minority will therefore always remain a ready and willing fuel for the new quarrelsome people and the new peacemakers that will always follow.
Is this clear, or isn't it? Yes.
Good morning, Rav. We missed you yesterday.
Thank you.
My question is, what does it mean? The merciful people and...
We're going to have to read it again, because it's very confused for us. As if the seekers of peace ruin the world, the ones who are the opposite, the ones who go to war, they build the war. There's a confusion in the perception, understanding. Let's read it again.
So, page 91, Hopes for Peace. Once those conditions brought society a great deal of strife and risked the well-being of society, the peacemakers appeared in society. They have assumed control and power and renewed the social life based on new conditions, which they considered true, to suffice for the peaceful existence of society. Yet the majority of those peacemakers which spring up after every dispute naturally come from among the destructors, meaning from the seekers of truth, by way of what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours. This is because they are the powerful and courageous ones in society, called heroes. For they are always willing to renounce their own lives and the lives of the whole collective if the collective disagrees with their view. But the constructors in society, who are the men of mercy and charity, who care for their own lives and for the life of the collective, refuse to risk themselves or the public in order to impose their opinion on the collective. Hence, they're always on the weak side in society called the faint-hearted and the coward. It is hence obvious that the hand of the brave profligates will always be on top, and it is natural that the peacemakers will come from among the destructors and not from the constructors. Thus we see how the hope for peace, which our generation so yearns for, is futile both from the perspective of the subject and the perspective of the predicate. For the subjects, who are the peacemakers of our time and in any generation, meaning those who have the power to make peace in the world, are forever made of the human substance we call destructors, for they are seekers of truth, meaning to establish the world on the attribute of what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours. It's natural that those people defend their opinions firmly to the point of risking their own lives and the life of the entire collective.
Well, these are all the elite people, the governments, the officers, what we call officers, meaning the managers in all the different areas, you know, all the different levels and all different places, they're all part of the destructors. Yes.
And that is what gives them the power to always prevail over the human substance called constructors, the seekers of mercy and charity, who are willing to give up of their own for the good of others in order to save the world, because they are the faint-hearted and the coward. It turns out that seeking truth and the destruction of the world are one and the same, and the desire for mercy and the construction of the world are one and the same too. Therefore, we should not hope from the destructors to establish the peace. And it is hopeless to hope for peace from the predicate meaning by the conditions of peace itself. This is so because the proper conditions for the well-being of the individual and the well-being of the collective, according to the criterion of truth that these peacemakers so desire. And it is a must that there will always be a large minority in society who are unsatisfied by the conditions offered to them. As we have shown, the weakness of the truth above. This minority will therefore always remain a ready and willing fuel for the new quarrelsome people and the new peacemakers that will always follow.
They will always want to prove that you can reach peace through struggles, through revolutions, through all kinds of pressures, forcefully, and this will certainly never happen. Okay, the solution is before us. So what do we have here? The destructors, which are the ones who say, what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. They are the powerful ones. They always want to advance and to conquer the whole world, all the population, to be under them. And the constructors, which are the weak ones, the cowards, they are the ones who care for everyone, for the others. That's nature. So they are attracted to mercy, to doing good. Then we have the weaker ones and the powerful, one more powerful ones. Egoistically, that's how society, how the entire humanity is divided. And in the meantime, we have no hope for peace, because always, in every society, you can have a unity of the powerful ones. It will overcome, and they'll start the riots, and in general, you have no hope for peace. All right? Yes.
Jörg from Belgium is asking, how is perfect peace constructed?
Wait on. I don't want to jump ahead before Bharaswami has things to explain here. We have mercy, peace, truth, here you see that there's no hope to get the peace. Run.
He talks about, toward the end, he talks about the third kind, which aren't constructors, aren't destructors, but they are another type of people that are discontent with the conditions, and they will always be willing to turn one way or another, or by the measure of truth.
What is he talking about?
And there will always be this minority.
Wait,
will therefore always remain a ready and willing fuel.
No.
It is unclear what is this minority. They lean in neither direction, this third kind of people.
That's something you can't take under consideration. You always have the ones who only care for about the World Cup or, I don't know, something. He's talking about the active part. And even the weak ones, the constructors, they too are shouting. They too are putting pressure. But the ones who are neither here nor there, how can you take them under consideration? It's just matter. Most of them are. 90% of society is. Talk to people. What did they care about? Whatever they heard in the news, that's what they're talking about. Stop the news and see in 1 month what will happen to people. What will they think about? You'll see that everyone's like beasts.
This I understand. It's just that
read what he's talking about.
And it is hopeless to hope for peace from the predicate, meaning by the conditions of peace itself. This is so because the proper conditions for the well-being of the individual and the well-being of the collective, according to the criterion of truth that these peacemakers so desire, have not yet been established. And it is a must that there will always be a large minority in society who are unsatisfied by the conditions offered to them, as we have shown the weakness of the truth above. This minority will therefore always remain a ready and willing fuel for the new quarrelsome people and the new peacemakers that will always follow.
The peacemakers are actually the ones who bring the ruin.
It simply seems that that group of people that he talks about, they're like cells in slumber, waiting for the right conditions to reach some kind of truth or peace, but they're asleep. What do we need them for? What's the use?
The use? The ones who are still sleeping, you'll see the use in them. Once a bit of truth will be revealed, they're not attracted neither here nor there, not because they're asleep or small, it's a big amount of people, it's a mass, but according to the point in the heart, well, they don't yet have the point in the heart, it's not revealed. So they're not attracted here nor there. They're indifferent, meaning this does not attract me, I don't hear them. These people are crying out socialists, and the others are crying out capitalists. These are in favor of the unity in Europe, and those are against it. It has nothing to do with these people. They're still waiting for their heart to respond. We didn't use all our qualities yet. We haven't yet used all our qualities. Wait on. The well-being of the public.
The well-being of a certain collective and the well-being of the whole world. Do not be surprised if I mix together the well-being of a particular collective with the well-being of the whole world, because indeed, we have already come to such a degree that the whole world is considered one collective and one society. Meaning, because each person in the world draws his life's marrow and his livelihood from all the people in the world, he is cursed to serve and care for the well-being of the whole world. We have proven above that the total subordination of the individual to the collective is like a small wheel in a machine. He draws his life and his happiness from that collective, and therefore the well-being of the collective and his own well-being are one and the same, and vice versa. Therefore, to the extent that a person is enslaved to himself, he necessarily becomes enslaved to the collective, as we have spoken at length above. And what is the extent of that collective? That is determined by the parameter of the drawing of the individual from them. For example, in historic times, that perimeter was only the perimeter of one family, meaning the individual needed aid only from his own family members. At that time, he had to be subordinated only to his own family. In later times, families gathered into towns and countries, and the individual became enslaved to his town. Later, when the towns and countries were joined into states, the individual was supported by all of his countrymen for the happiness of his life. Thus, he became enslaved to all the people in the country. Therefore, in our generation, when each person is aided for his happiness by all the countries of the world, it is necessary that, to that extent, the individual becomes enslaved to the whole world, like a wheel in a machine. Therefore, the possibility of making good, happy, and peaceful conducts in one state is inconceivable when it is not so in all the countries in the world, and vice versa. In our time, the countries are all linked in the satisfaction of their needs of life, as individuals were in their families in earlier times. Therefore, we can no longer speak or deal with just conducts that guarantee the well-being of one country or one nation, but only with the well-being of the whole world, because the benefit or harm of each and every person in the world depends and is measured by the benefit of all the people in the world. And although this is in fact known and felt, still the people in the world have not yet grasped properly. And why? Because such is the conduct of the development in nature, that the act comes before the understanding, and only actions will prove and push humanity forward.
That's on the path of suffering already. But humanity can't have it in any other way. Only by someone coming, explaining to them that you can avoid the suffering and advance to that necessary goal, which is predetermined by the way of education. Until here, it's okay, right? Bit by bit, we'll understand what he wrote before. In this part, we didn't really understand about the peace, destruction, the constructors. Yes?
Timo
from Peter is asking, how to rise above the analytical and psychological dissection of this article and to focus on the internal message Bala Sulam is trying to pass on. We have to understand that we're talking about a bit before the place the world is in. We're attracted to see the world connected because that's its nature, that's its foundation, that's where it emerged from and that's where it has to go back. In the meantime, it has become scattered and disconnected from each other, the way we see it, the way our will to receive has it, where what we see is that each one judges by his own flaw, and accordingly we have to correct our vision, and then we'll see the world connected, corrected. How do we do it? Only by education. We're supplying education for ourselves. Out of the wisdom of Kabbalah, we have to supply education for the whole world by what he explains to us in the end of the introduction to the book of Zohar. To the extent that we yearn for connection and attaining the force of unity, the one force which is called the Creator, so do we too affect or bestow through the internal pipelines of nature, the internal network of the world, to the whole world and to each and everyone. Everything depends only on us. There's nothing to wait for in the public. Both the destructors and the constructors, both the weak and the coward, which are the constructors, and also the powerful ones, the what we call the officers, which are the destructors, they're all clueless. Those who say you have to share everything with everyone, the others say no, whatever, what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. All these methods are not possible. Only the correction of each and every one to be the integral component, small component for everyone, where everyone has to connect. That's what will bring the peace. Well, we're going to read it again. It will come. In the meantime, where are we? Page 93, titled In Practical Life, the Four Attributes Contradict One Another. Rav, okay. Are there any questions? Yes. Quickly. He writes that we'll never have peace because the ones who push for peace are the destructors with the attribute of what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours. I don't see the bad thing about what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours, what's his is. Everything's cool.
I see. Therefore, they say that this is the only way to achieve peace. How can I demand something of someone or someone will demand of me to share with someone else? Peace means what? Within the boundaries, the framework of this world of our will to receive, the Creator made us different, put us in different situations. We're using our will to receive that came from Him, and everyone makes whatever they make and earn what they earn. You can create laws that no one will kill anyone else. But in terms of profit, whatever you make is yours. How can you say no? You're coming to steal from me? That's theft. If you take what's mine, and that you don't deserve.
True. So why does he call them destructors? Why are these destructors the ones who want what's mine and mine, what's yours?
Because they want peace.
Yeah, but he says the ones who want peace, they're destructors.
But it's by way of what's mine is mine, yours is yours, that's destruction.
Why?
Because it divides human society and eventually leads to strife.
Okay.
When the weak, there are more and more weak, and eventually it brings to revolutions and so on, pressure. The public demands what it deserves. You can say they don't deserve it. They want it one way or another. Look, you can see it nowadays, like with Bill Gates and with other billionaires. There are a few new ones that pop up every day. But it doesn't increase peace in the world, even though that they say that on part of the will to receive, maybe to put it that way, on part of the will to receive, it's true. It's the truth. Because the Creator created it, so. And on part of the well-being of society, we see that eventually it does not lead to peace, even those that they say that this is the only way to reach peace, where everyone receives what they deserve. Deserve meaning according to their investment.
Okay.
You'll understand. Understand that there's a problem here to understand why peace and the destructors are one and the same. And why the weak that want charity and mercy and they're coward, they are the constructors. What can they build if they're so weak and coward? They can't build anything. That's true. but they're actually the constructors. And we'll scrutinize that later on.
Okay.
I wanted to ask, do we have any updates, anything, Europe, something? No, Europe fell asleep.
Didn't fall asleep, Rav. Our friends Giuseppe and Alex are translating. I can report that we have 388 registered and counting. So that's good, and we have to stop here. We're reminding all the friends who have registered to finish the process, because we addressed one more hotel, which is by the side of the Congress, of course, so we can have more rooms, and the friends are planning the lessons we're going to have, and we are told about all the projects. We're also preparing lesson number zero, the meeting with you. It's the last lesson. It's the first lesson. It's the last one we're preparing. We're all talking about how to build the United Europe. It's going to be real happy in the Congress.
I'm willing to participate in anything and everything, only that on the first and second days, there will be in between.
Yeah, we have in between, and also we have this Sunday, we're going to have a worldwide marathon. We're inviting all the groups all over the world to be there, to support us, to be active. All the friends in Europe are going into the State of the Congress, so please, friends, connect, write to us, be there, and take part. Maybe we're going to ask you, Rav, to be part of this day.
No problem. Also, Sunday morning, we're studying the third lesson from the Congress, and what I'm asking is for everyone to go over all the excerpts.
Everything's already in the site. It's translated, all the lessons, all the tunes, all the quotes, everything's in the site.
And let's even start with questions and answers Sunday. Let's inquire the subject. We actually have time left, so maybe let's read some more.
Page 93, title, In Practical Life, the Four Attributes Contradict One Another. If the above practical difficulties which disturb us, helpless people on our way, are not enough, we have in addition, a further mix-up and a great battle of the psychological predispositions, meaning the attributes themselves within each and every one of us, individually, which are unique and contradictory to one another. For the four above attributes, mercy, truth, justice, and peace, which were divided in the nature of people, whether by development or by rearing, are in and of themselves contradictory to one another. If we take, for example, the attribute of mercy in its abstract form, we find that its government contradicts all other attributes, meaning that by the laws of the rule of mercy, there is no place for the appearance of the other attributes in our world. What is the attribute of mercy? Our sages defined it: what's mine is yours, and what's yours is yours, chassid, pious. And if all the people in the world were to behave by this quality, it would cancel all the glory of the attribute of truth and judgment. Because if each and every one were naturally willing to give everything he had to others and take nothing from another, then the whole interest in lying to one another would disappear. Also, it would be irrelevant to discuss the quality of truth, since truth and falsehood are relative to one another. If there were no falsehood in the world, there would be no concept of truth. Needless to say, all the other attributes, which came only to strengthen the attribute of truth because of its weakness, would be cancelled. Truth is defined in the words, what's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours. That contradicts the attribute of mercy and cannot altogether tolerate it. Since in truth, it is unjust to labor and strain for another. Because besides failing his friend, and accustoming him to exploit others, truth dictates that every person should treasure his own assets for a time of need, so he will not have to be a burden on his fellow men. Moreover, there is not a person without relatives and heirs that, in fact, should come before others, because so nature dictates that he who gives his property to others lies to his relatives and natural heirs by not leaving them anything. And peace also contradicts justice, because to make peace in the public, there must be conditions that by content promise the nimble and the smart, which invest their energy and wisdom, to become rich, and those who are negligent and naive to be poor. Hence, he who is more energetic takes his own share and the share of his negligent friend and enjoys such a good life that there is not enough left for the negligent and naive to merely provide for the necessary livelihood. Hence, they remain completely bare and destitute in many ways. It is certainly unjust to punish the negligent and the naive so harshly for no evil. For what is their sin and what is their crime of those wretched people? If Providence did not grant them the agility and the acumen that should be punished, that they should be punished with torments harsher than death. Therefore, there is no justice whatsoever in the conditions of peace. Peace contradicts justice, and justice contradicts peace. Because if we order the division of property justly, meaning give to the negligent and the naive a substantial portion of the part that the nimble and the energetic have, then these powerful and initiating people will certainly not rest until they overthrow this government that enslaves the great ones, the energetic ones, and exploits them in favor of the weak. Therefore, there is no hope for the peace of the collective. Thus, justice contradicts peace. Now, let's move on to the daily task from Yekaterinburg.
Today, on duty, New York, Novosibirsk, Petah Tikva, and Yekaterinburg. Daily task, during the day, let's scrutinize how can I care for the friends and to put these efforts in writing in my diary at the end.